blessings. Amen. Mother Chester, there's blessings. Amen. So let's go ahead and put our seed together. Get a seed in your hand. For those of you that are watching online, make sure that you get a seed in your hand. This ministry is worth investing in. Also, people of God, they're being obedient and asking people about bringing individuals to church with you. Don't get discouraged. Don't get discouraged. Somebody is going to respond. Somebody is going to say, I'll follow you this morning. Somebody is going to say yes. People who have spouses that are not believers, if you pray and if you're obedient, God will move. If you do not pray and you're not obedient, then it's going to be hard. God will stir up some things on your behalf and you can't make it or do it yourself. As we proceed further with the preliminaries, we have four ways to give. The first way is online by going to our website at www.divinetruthcc.org. The second way is through a kiosk, and you'll see Deacon Lewis back there that's getting the systems in order. The third way is through envelope, traditionally speaking. If you need an envelope, just raise your hand and the ushers will actually help you. Young people, make sure that if mom and daddy give you a couple of nickels and quarters, make sure that you put that inside of the offering bucket so that you can get into the habit of giving. In a flash, many of you all will be in at the end of the next decade having children. And some of us will become grandparents or early grandparents. It's not too far away. And so you want to get into the habit of that as well. 10 years, that's it. Most of y'all will be graduated from college if God says differently. And so make sure that you do it that way. And then finally, through the Cash App, the $ Cash App. People of God, if you have individuals that are at the house and you know where they are, ask them if they want to give to the ministry. Ask them, hey, do you want to sow a seed? Here's the Cash App. Or I'll take your offering with me and I'll put it into the collection plate. I want to call it a collection plate because we're not collections like collections. Give it to the people of God and give it to the ministry. I'll do that on your behalf. That is another idea so that we can sustain ourselves and thrive. There's a lot of work to do. There's many families that we need to reach out to. There's visitors and guests that are going to continue to come through those doors as long as we stay faithful to God and get up under in unity. Amen. Amen. So go ahead and get a seed in your hand. Proceed as normal. Once again, Father, we thank you for these gifts in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Be blessed, people of God.
pour out your spirit in this place. And Father, we come to you and we thank you and we bless you. For there is none like you, nor will there ever be. We thank you, Lord God, for your presence. We thank you, Lord God, for your anointing. We thank you, Lord God, for your power. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Thank you, singers. It's greatly appreciated. Amen. Hallelujah. So as our young people have their, quote unquote, breakout sessions, let us, those of us who are more mature in the faith, be of a listening ear this morning. This morning's scripture is going to come from out of 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 11 through 14. 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verses 11 through 14. Hallelujah. And it says in verse 11, "And it shall come to pass, when the priests came out of the most holy place, for all the priests who were present had sanctified themselves without keeping to their divisions. And the Levites, who were the singers, just like you heard this morning, all of those of Asaph and Heman and Jeduthun, with their sons and their brethren, stood at the east of the altar, clothed in white linen, having cymbals, stringed instruments, and harps." They had a praise team, y'all. "And with them 120 priests surrounded with trumpets." Not brass trumpets, but this is the type of trumpet that they were actually using, an actual vessel. Verse 13 says, "Indeed, it has come to pass, when the trumpeters and singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord, and when they lifted up their voice with trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever, that the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud, so that the priest, the preacher, Pastor Martin, could not even preach that Sunday morning because of the cloud. God was speaking himself. For the glory of the Lord filled the house of God." Help me, Heavenly Father. And the title of this morning's message is Being the Church, Part 4. Subtitle, most appropriately, The Corporate Anointing. The Corporate Anointing. Amen. Do you have it? Amen. I got to move on. Oftentimes, when I am crafting a sermon, it is a week-long endeavor of study, if you will. I consider things like interactions with people and their situations, different types of inboxes that I get on a regular basis. I also look at things on social media or even traditional media. Thank you very much. Traditional media meaning television and frequently in nature. I go out and I see what God has done. I look at the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, creeping things, hawks, eagles, and sometimes frogs. Example, sometimes when you see frogs, not all times, but sometimes when you see frogs biblically, they represent a plague or demons. And when you see eagles, it represents leadership and that you should fly high over storms. They don't stop because things are happening. So I consider those things in God's creation. And finally, most of all, God's word. I'm dropping nuggets here. In song, so listening to music on the way to work or home from work. Reading, and most importantly, prayer. You see where I'm going. And I do this and embark upon my routine, if you will,
on a regular basis every week. Been doing it as a pastor for almost 10 years and as a minister, goodness, almost 19 years. It's crazy how time flies by. So this is my routine, and I also deeply think about the needs as I do this of this local assembly. If you're watching this online, and next week when we go back on Facebook again, I did my little temporary methodology, but we need to go back on Facebook again, or maybe even this morning if you all can without having too many interruptions. One of the things that I think about this is that, or rather this question, what do the people need to hear today? That's what I ask myself as I go through this regimen, this process of looking at and seeing what God is saying. What is he saying? How is he moving forward? If you all can't do it, don't worry about it. Interestingly enough, I think about the diet. I think about what I should put on the menu. If you're a pastor, if you're an aspiring pastor that wants to speak and lead a congregation, I want to prepare you that the preaching moment is not the pinnacle of ministry. It is actually a time where people determine whether or not they want to come to your church or stay away, regardless of what is being said. And so we're living in a time where the preaching moment is the pinnacle, but it is not the pinnacle. There has to be substance. There cannot be emotionalism. It cannot just be hollering to the top of your lungs and not saying anything. Like a dull knife, you just ain't cutting. Talking loud, but ain't saying nothing. What? Ain't saying nothing. That's what James Brown said. It says you could talk loud and not say anything. So I don't want to give you an empty menu. I don't want to, as some people have told me before, to give you a keto diet worth of preaching. I want you to have a full meal, a balanced meal with fruits and vegetables, things that'll make you get excited, which is some sweets and encouragement, but also some things that need to help you get the crap out, like castor oil. This is my regimen. This is what I do on a regular basis. And because God has given me a gift to teach and pastor, actually, preparing like that is not a heavy burden to me. Not most of the time, it's not hard for me to prepare a sermon because I stay in the Word throughout the week. However, there are times when I have this nagging feeling of missing what to deal with in the Spirit. Every now and then, I get this nagging feeling, like I wrestle sometimes. I was like, what is it that the people of God, especially this local assembly, need to hear, need to do in order to go to the next level? From the back of the church all the way to the front, what do you need to hear in order for you to support as you should, come as you should, be consistent and give as you should, serve as you should, love one another as you should? If I could just get the people of God to love their neighbor as much as they love their own kids, just a small smidgen of that. I think of all different types of things in my mind. It's almost like this nagging feeling that I've had over the years of something that is hidden like a key in the desert. Pretty hard to find, right? That once found will unlock and open doors to places never dreamt of. Or to properly diagnose a leak in the body of Christ that keeps us from going to the next level in God and ministry. It's like a key in a desert. It's been nagging me since about 2014 up until now. What is it? What is it? I look at myself. I examine myself. I say, is there something wrong? Do I need to educate more? Do I need to go and get it? Do some extra things? I listen to podcasts religiously. I self-examine, I pray, and I give, and so try to be a leader and all these different types of things. And I know many of you do the same thing. Even those that came yesterday, all three of them that came and cleaned the church, they got a little bit of that frustration too. As far as, what is it? Why is it that people don't want to come together, or come up with every type of excuse, but they want full access to everything that God has for them? Again, it's like a needle in a haystack, a key in a desert. It's like a doctor trying to find out what's wrong with you, but all the tests keep on coming up saying there's nothing wrong, but you know there's something wrong. It's kind of like having a body that's physically intact and all vital signs come back as necessary, but then it's a mental issue. Something that does not come up with those type of tests until you take or commit or actually administer a different battery of tests. And so I've been testing this congregation over the years, and I think I know what the issue is. And thankfully, through time of prayer and consecration, God has graciously revealed what I must speak to and what we as a body must deal with. And it is to understand, watch this, the answer, the corporate anointing. This is the missing piece to the puzzle called divine truth for several years until today. I can't tell you how perplexed yet excited I am about this revelation. Perplexed in that it took almost a decade of getting close to our primary issue. It's almost like somebody saying, you're hot, and being blindfolded and you're trying to walk around blindly. And somebody says, you're cold, you're ice cold, you're freezing. No, back up. You're hot, you're real hot, you're smoking, you're on fire. There it is. The corporate anointing. A missing piece to the puzzle. Perplexing that it took so long. Perplexing that it feels like we have been redirected in circles for so many years. Perplexing because I figured that we would have enough smart folk, enough anointed folk to be able to pull this out. But the truth is that God actually said this a long time ago through different voices throughout the years. It's just that one of the main elements of things not really synergizing is that sometimes people just don't listen. And you're walking in disobedience, like not coming to prayer for none of the 21 days. That is walking in absolute disobedience, and you cannot be blessed walking in disobedience. The excitement comes in that I believe we have a group of people that want all that God has for this ministry and his vision for this community. If you felt some kind of way and you didn't see yourself in any of those photos, that means that you have been missing. But hopefully from this day forward, you'll be able to come up under the corporate anointing. So let's break this out a little bit as I go into my teaching mode, if you will. First of all, there is a personal anointing, and this manifests as dynamic leadership. Like, you know, pastor, your pastors, I believe that I am a dynamic leader. The numbers do not reflect the vision. Not at all. The numbers, if you will, do not reflect the vision. The people do not reflect the totality of the vision. You all are the foundational pieces to the vision. But if we want to go further, some things have to change. So there's personal anointing. Dynamic leader. Somebody that cannot be a fool, that is not a novice. We started this ministry in 2010, but I was ordained in ministry in 2001. And it's now 2020, so I've been in ministry for a totality of 19 years. So I am not a novice. And I choose people to be in leadership around me that are not novices. They have had to have gone through some things and to suffer through some things and still can say, praise the Lord, and can still pray at 7 p.m. without checking out or sitting with their head down, listening or looking at their phone. Personal anointing, like David. He had a personal anointing. Lord, don't take your spirit away from me. Create in me a clean heart, and I will serve you. I will follow you. I will serve thee. Moses, the great Moses, the Moses that casted out his staff and parted the Red Sea Moses, he had an anointing. The apostles had an anointing, for they were chosen by Jesus themselves. Even Paul was chosen by Jesus in his glorified body as a Christophany. Selected him, the chief of sinners. And then finally, the anointed one, the best of them all, Jesus. Jesus, the second head of the Trinity. If anyone says there's no Trinity in the Bible, as I give a nice little sidebar conversation, all you have to do is go at the very beginning of his ministry when he approaches John and John sees him. They met once before inside of the womb. When Elizabeth and Mary came in contact with each other, their babies leaped. I'm looking for people to join this ministry to where when they come into the place, their baby leaps with excitement. I don't want complaining prayers to go before the Father. You vent, but when you're in leadership, your prayers have to be different. I'm looking for some people that babies leap when they come through those doors. And that is not going to be for everyone, because I believe that this ministry is very special. It has been called. There is a reason why God still allows for us to be around when all evidence and bank statement says that we should not be in existence any longer. This is the truth of the matter. This is the order of the day. And no doubt, I believe that we have been carried on and moved forward because we have special people. We had a couple of folk that have been praying until their hair started falling out. But all the burden can't go on just a couple of people. That's not how it is. That's not corporate. That's based off of personal anointing. I believe that Lady Martin tried to sing and many of us tried to dance with our personal anointings in order to pull things forward. Pastor Martin tried to teach with his teaching anointing, a business anointing, and try to pull things forward. So everyone has their own individual anointings, but that is not working. It will not work. That is not a substitute, Deacon Penn, for obedience. It's not a substitute for obedience. It's not a substitute, Ms. Nieves, for serving. And making a sacrifice when you may have people around you that don't believe in God. This is a special ministry. It's something that is necessary. Personal anointing can only take you so far, because an anointing is really for a task, not for sustainment. It's supposed to end. Man, he's showing up preached today. That's the anointing. But you need a corporate anointing in order for the people to understand what he's saying. And that's where I pivot to the other category, the corporate anointing. The corporate anointing manifests as dynamic, not leadership, but fellowship. Dynamic fellowship. And even as Sister Hunter said yesterday, if I may, it was a little bit frustrated to clean up this big old church by myself and only a couple of us with three broken vacuum cleaners. We can get new ones if people give. We can get one today if people give as they should. Same people, same group. We could get that backdrop done today if people give. Same people, same folk. We can actually have sides of the church filled. Same people. Many of y'all have personal, individual anointings, but corporate, that's something altogether different. And when you walk in disobedience, it will not work. When you walk in disobedience, even some of us leaders, when we walk in disobedience, it will not work. So corporate anointing manifests as dynamic fellowship. For example, the children of Israel in the Old Testament were an example of dynamic fellowship. As long as they followed the fire by night, as long as they followed the cloud by day, God was with them. As long as they listened to the instructions of Moses, everything was going to be all right. It was until they got tired of Moses, got tired of hearing the man of God, and wanted to create their own golden calf. Ministry is where things start going right. You do know that we can create our own golden calves within a ministry, right? This is when we do our thing or don't want any other input, and we figure that as long as our ministry does good, that's God. But it's not God if it does not bring souls into the kingdom or impacts and bombards the evil darkness that surrounds. So the children of Israel understand what dynamic fellowship was all about. And they went through a lot of bumps and bruises. They went through attrition, much like we have gone through. Last summer, there was people everywhere. And part of it has to do with the climate that is out there. But I believe that we could be climate changers. Amen. You heard that? Anybody else hear that in the spirit? Some of y'all ain't hear the spirit. Some of y'all wonder who's over there in the sanctuary. No. The climate has to change. Haven't you heard that theme in the news? The reason why things are going crazy in the world is because of climate change. That's in the natural, but in the spirit, it's the same thing. Climate change, which is when people are very wasteful with what they have. What do you have, divine truth? What do you see? Are we tired or are we walking in disobedience? Because if it's in the will of God, things are supposed to get easy. That's what's supposed to happen. It's still going to be work, but it's supposed to get easier when you're walking in the will of God. And the will of God comes from walking in obedience. But I got a lot going on. Choose this day whom you will serve. I got more going on. But I'd rather fly all out of town from freezing cold weather and come to the house of the Lord late versus making an excuse when I have no agenda that evening at all. That's kind of hard to hear, but it's necessary, because all of the great churches that I have been a part of, they have dynamic fellowship because they walk in obedience. There has to be structure. If my life is in disarray and I come to the house of the Lord and I hear people praying, talk about something, they so tired and weary night after night. Then why do I want to be here? I want some joyful faces. I want to see that when I come through those doors in this ministry, the first face that I see is someone smiling, saying, "How you doing? I'm glad that you're here." That person may be going through hell in a handbasket, but the other person on the outside needs their soul to be restored. Can we put our personal endeavors aside for a moment? In the New Testament, it is the Church of Jesus Christ. That is what represented dynamic fellowship. And when you follow Jesus, man, oh man, that house of God can turn into a home for sinners that will be saved. So let me break this down a little bit more. First, there's the core, like we have in our little meetings. I love the core that we have, but I also have to make sure that they stay on their toes, because it's not a permanent membership. If you do not consistently meet the high standards, then maybe it's time for you to come into a fellowship. Is that fair? Yes, that's fair, because we're leading God's people. So no one is a permanent member, including myself. If I see myself as being ineffective, then I need to move from out of the core and I need to stop preaching. And I need to just sit down and listen for a while. I do this on purpose because we're to be the examples. The core is the first part of a corporation. Well, church is a business. Yes, it's a business. You didn't know that? It is a business. That's not a slight. That's not a negative thing. It's a business. Because Jesus said when he had his parents trying to distract him from what was going on, his family trying to distract him from what's going on, he said, I must be about my Father's business. So if you want to know what church the business is in, it's the Father's business. And we don't apologize for it. I sure enough don't apologize for it. Church is a business. It belongs to the Father. So we must be about it. I'm about it. You about it? I'm about it. I've been about it. I've been about it out in the street and a little about it right now. But I'm more so about it as it relates to things of the kingdom. That's what's so important. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 through 14 says, just for as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we're all baptized into one body. Jews or Greeks, slaves or free. In other words, it doesn't matter your socioeconomic status. You can get saved in the house of the Lord. You don't have to be like the Church of Scientology where you got to pay your way in. In my Tom Cruise voice, or I got to jump on couches. And I look at Dianetics and all of these weird things that the Nation of Islam practice. I don't have to get into all of the weird stuff that's out there. All I have to do is just believe God. And on his son, Jesus Christ, who came, died, and was buried, and rose again on the third day. That is the gospel message. And everyone who is a leader up under the sound of my voice, or has ever sat up under this ministry for any length of time, must know what the gospel is so they can share it. If you could share a recipe, if you could share what time power comes on, you could definitely share who Jesus is and what he came to do. You have to at least know the message. Grandma, who is Jesus? Well, he saved me. Saved me from what? Well, and that's when the testimony starts. Because your after should look better than your before. Meeting Jesus, that is. So it's not about you. Pastor Martin is not about you. Al is not about you. Lady Martin is not about you. Jose is not about you. Dewan is not. It's not about us. It's all about Jesus and his gospel. The message cannot be changed. That's what the gospel is. The message cannot be changed. People try to change it, but the message cannot be changed. But the methods can. That's what God has given us liberty to do. We can have lights, camera, action, and sound, and nice flyers and videos. And I love all of those different types of things. Wonderful graphics, eloquent speaking ability, dynamic anointing, and singing and praising. But I want to experience what those Old Testament priests experiences when I can actually shut up and let God talk for an entire service. But it will not happen when you have division. Another thing that's been nagging at me, we see it, and what triggered this is when Lady Martin put a post about in a particular group on Facebook, and it's talking about, well, have you any of you business owners inside of this particular, especially when it comes to people of color type of community, when it comes to businesses, do you have a hard time unifying and having people support you? And I said, I saw yes after yes after yes after yes. And it almost seems as if, and let me just be frank here, sometimes people of color will actually go to a different type of church with a different persuasion and make where they have, put it this way. First of all, there's nothing wrong with going to a different church where you have a pastor that's of a different color. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that oftentimes people inside of this community expect for the pastor to be a celebrity, a superstar, a millionaire, 15 PhDs first before they come to church. We have to work twice as hard, not only in the predominant culture, but also in the kingdom, to even be seen as worthy. And I feel like we're falling into that same funk in divine truth. Translation, don't take things for granted. Because when you take things for granted, things get taken. It's time to recalibrate. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The ESV version says, now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. That's what it is. You are the body of Christ and individually members of it. But you know what I hear oftentimes in prayers? And when I listen to people over time, sometimes when I hear people pray, they give honor to God, but then it goes into a selfish type of prayer. In other words, God, fix my situation. So let me give you a little bit of education on how to pray. And Jesus said it most eloquently when his disciples asked him to pray. The disciples came up to him and said, Jesus, what should we pray? How should we pray? And Jesus said, Our Father, which art in heaven. In other words, you give glory to God. Holy is your name. You know his character. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. In other words, your way of doing things is what I want in my life. Thy will be done. That means that my will ain't even in the picture. On earth as it is in heaven. In other words, there has to be synchronicity in between the two. Things happen when you know what God's will is for your life. So you have to pray according to his will. You can decree and declare all heaven coming down and shouting out and all that other stuff. But if it's not within his will, then next year you're going to be disgruntled. And then you're going to be burnt out. You want a promotion, but then you can't talk to anybody. You want to move forward, but then when you have the pressure of leadership, you start cracking. Those things have to be addressed. They have to be addressed. This is next level talking. It's going to make you uncomfortable, but growth is uncomfortable. 19 years in ministry was not easy for me. And the last almost 10 have not been easy. But if you follow God, people will see the growth. So we don't need to follow a popular preacher because you don't know how much they have suffered. What you should follow is God, and you look and see if God is who the preacher is following, and then you follow suit. So being a corporation has its privileges and responsibilities. Privileges in that you have access to the leader's anointing. I know that God has anointed me for this. I know that God has given me a way to be able to carry this thing for all of these years without stopping. When we have many exits along the way. Exit strategies. I got an exit strategy in my brain right now that I hope that I do not have to use. I'm being serious. And my exit strategy is not to stop preaching forever. That ain't it. My exit strategy shouldn't even be have a line that says go to another church. But if that's what God wants, then that's what will happen. What I'd rather do is for our people to become a dynamic fellowship, to really embrace the vision. If you don't know what it is, our vision of our church is to restore and reconcile people back to God, to take care of their total man through faith, family, finances, and worship. So those banners are the cornerstones of the ministry. They've been up here since 2010. I created those banners ourselves, and they were on the front of our storefront, if you look at some of the old pictures. And they're a constant reminder to me of where we came from and what we still need to hold to. Up until now. So you have access to the leader's anointing. Access to their wisdom and strength, and access to fellow members in times of need, financially, spiritually, physically, and mentally. Just because I may not have it at the moment doesn't mean that your neighbor does not have it. If you have a relationship with them, a close one, even during hard times, then maybe, just maybe, they can help you with your light bill. But y'all got to be on speaking terms like that in the beginning. That's why going forward, when we pray, we're going to start holding hands, y'all. Yeah. We need to start doing unity type of exercises because we have a lot of individually anointed people in this room. But that corporate anointing, I think it is at level 2 out of 10. That's been our problem. Don't worry, I got a big rock head. It didn't hurt me at all. That's what it was. That's what's been nagging me for all of these years. They said we have individually great people that have a problem following. So the privileges are numerous. But, Sister Samantha, I want you to know that there's some responsibilities of being a part of the body, this body. You know what your responsibilities are? Let me come closer since you've asked. What? Your responsibilities are to give, yeah, your time, your money, and your effort, because that's what the first church in the first century did. I don't have to worry about the tithing debate because that's only a guy. But giving has never, never been absent of the biblical text. And a Christian that does not give might not be saved. So if God blessed you with a job, then reciprocate. It's important. And you know what makes it easier? Number one, you spending your money right and managing it properly and not spending it on frivolous things. That's part of it. That's the wisdom part. But then after the wisdom part has been coming into contact, now you got to trust God that he will increase you. And when you don't expect for, you should not treat giving to God or to a church like a tax return that you get at the end of the year where you expect something back. When you stop expecting something back, then that's when God gives you things. And I put all this money and time. So have I. Hundreds of thousands of dollars. Every time you skip your offering, who had to come up with it? But that's when you have weak fellowship. Great individual anointing. Can rally people to a party in zero time flat. And part of that is because it's the world. I understand that. But those same people should respect you and come to your church too. Because that's how churches grow. They grow from unchurched people. That's what lost sheep are. That's like a little church word. Unchurched. Unchurched is somebody who loves God but has apprehensions about coming to church, or they haven't been to church in a long time. They don't know how things go in church. They don't know that you ain't supposed to come up to the front of the church with a crying baby. They don't know about offering and what that bucket is going around. They just want God. And that's the type of people we want. So that we could teach them about the kingdom. So maybe, just maybe, we are looking for duplicates of ourselves. And there's nothing wrong with that, but I believe that we should look for what God wants. And that's how things will be able to move forward. So your responsibilities as a body of Christ is to give, to serve, to tell the truth. I'm telling you the truth. This is the truth message. Tell you the truth. As talented as we are, in some areas we stink. And it's true. As talented as we are, and as many dynamic leaders that I have around me, many of my leaders do not listen. Not like how they should. Who am I talking about? Everybody. No, not everybody. Some people do listen. But I know that you could do better. So it's to give, to serve, to tell the truth in love. That's what I'm doing this morning. And I had to be rebuked by the Holy Spirit, called Lady Martin, a couple of times over the years. I said, Pastor Martin, you get kind of soft in your old age. And I said, yes, I am. And so I'm showing my little teeth right now, a little bit longer in the tooth right now. You see that? In other words, I need to hold you all more accountable. That's the translation. And I will. So if it's kind of uncomfortable, you're going to skip three more Sundays, fine. But that's still not the answer. That's not the answer. The answer is to become a dynamic fellowship. We don't need to be a church without any structure and no standards. You may have even seen it in the praise team. Everybody looking all nice. Brother Ryan wearing a tie. Because I said it's time for you to look better now. And we family, so I can say that, because we want people, when they come in here, I want people to celebrate the Lord. Divine Truth, y'all are showing up anointed, but you sure look homely. It's the truth. I saw Brother Jose with a nice button-up shirt. I was like, all right, now. I ain't even tell him anything, but he did it on his own. That's what I want. I want that. We're a struggling church, but we sure enough don't have to look like it. God is good all the time, and all the time, that's the attitude that you have to have. And even as I circle around the mountain on the plane, I don't even want to come around the mountain on the train. I want to do a plane now. I think a train is too low and it's too slow. So we have to give, to serve, to tell the truth, to love, and embrace God's word. You got to know that word. And some of us who had problems with praying, some of it is not knowing how. But if you sat up under this ministry any length of time, you should be praying all the time, especially all the stuff that we've gone through. Does some of y'all remember when that child passed out in our church several years ago? Y'all remember that? That child was having seizures on a regular basis. And the mama did not know what in the world was going on. But we had a few folk that knew how to pray. We had a few folk that knew how to touch the heart of God. We came up under the corporate anointing. Half of the folk were scared and praying. And the other half were standing in victory praying, but we were all on one accord because we were all praying for the same purpose, that this baby doesn't die in the back of the church. And at the end of that prayer, the mama was in frantic. They called 911, and I remember the fire department and the police officers coming in the church. These are centurions of the new century. They're coming in and they're looking around and they're wondering what's happening. They checked out the child and they find out that the child is okay. They even stayed a couple of seconds to hear what I was saying because I didn't stop preaching the entire time. We prayed and then we left the rest up to God. And from that point forward, that child did not have any other issues. There have been moments in this ministry that have been transformative. There have been demons that entered into this ministry. Remember all that warfare that we had when we first got here? And folk were just doing all this other stuff and things like that and all this other stuff. And in the middle of the church, talk about they were praying. And then the prayer warriors got outside with flags in their hand. They didn't throw hands. They were throwing prayer. That's the type of church that we have. When demons show up, that means you're doing something. There ain't no demons been showing up, y'all. Al, this is what has been nagging me since 2014. Because the devil was after us hot and heavy. I'm going off my script. But the devil was after us hot and heavy. Things were getting catching on fire so much so over there until the devil had to get us up out of there. But God provided a ram in the bush and he gave us this big old building with these few people. And we transformed all this place. This place looked like a prison. With spider webs and daddy long legs everywhere. Some of y'all are afraid of heights?
Yeah.
But he still, watch this, obeyed and painted anyway. And went up there several times. Rick up there.
That's money, y'all ain't done yet.
We painted and we prayed. And some people left because it was too big. It was intimidating. But when you're responsible and when you take ownership of something and you see the vision, part of it, restoration and reconciling people back to God, but also marketplace ministry. All of that work that we're doing and you're talking about, I don't want to give and sow into that. I want you all on some Sundays, if you have not already, to go ahead and visit some other churches. Deacon Lewis, am I right about it? I always wanted to say that in church. Am I right about it? I always wanted to say that. And you need to see what really is out there. Just like a good man or a good woman is hard to find, so is a good church. They're kind of like in the same category. Because they're supposed to symbolize a marriage, and you can't marry everybody or anybody. So that's the corporate world. I'm so glad Lady Martin gave me a kick in the pants the other night. It was a gentle kick, but a kick nonetheless. Because the way that I'm preaching is how we started. It was rough, but people were blessed. It made you uncomfortable, but I guarantee if you gave a dollar this Sunday or nothing at all, next Sunday, you thought about it and you gave more, and then you were blessed as a result of your obedience to God as spoken through me, because I'm not God. So let's look at the catalyst. We talked about the corporate. What's the catalyst of it all? As I come around to Mount, where Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4 says, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, that same cloud. What is a cloud when it's sped up? Wind. You can't even see it. In the Old Testament, the cloud rested. In the New Testament, the cloud rushed. So we have to do things quickly. We don't have time to delay in our obedience. We have to be obedient now. Quickly. Time to give. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Let's go ahead and give to the glory of God. And many of y'all have become consistent in that. And it's going to get even better. I promise you that. It's going to get even better. They will say yes to the job applications. They will say yes. I'm a personal testimony to that. Verse 3 says, and divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. So they were once divided, but something else transcended their division. You want to know why certain communities can never come together, no matter how many community meetings they may have? And why I got to step down from the community of meeting part that I'm part of? It's because of weak fellowship and tribalism that has gone back centuries, because everybody wants to be the king. Not knowing that in the kingdom, the way that you lead is being a servant. That's the right things won't work together. That's why you have micro groups and all this other different type of stuff. And so you have to be a dynamic leader to have people follow you. You have to give them some semblance of hope. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. God's heavenly language. It was not something that no one didn't understand. They were all on one accord. So that is the catalyst. So what did I show you? I showed you the core. Corporation and how it came together. You as the church are the corporation to be an example. What is the engine or the catalyst of the church? For those of you that are in chemistry, a catalyst is basically taking something that gives energy to it so that it can continue to move forward. So the Holy Spirit is the catalyst of the church. Without the Holy Spirit, there is a weak, impotent church shooting blanks. Nothing is going to happen. Nothing is going to birth in the spirit.
Well, I'm just so tired and weary.
But people of God, I give you this one marriage example. Have you ever tried to do something with a lack of intimacy? Men, you know this. Got into an argument over a certain period of time, and then you come rolling into the bed. And because of a lack of intimacy, the person rolls over on you and says, I'm tired. Well, the people represent the man that gets into the bed without any intimacy. And the Holy Spirit represents the one that is rolling over and does not want to make love because they spent no time together. We have to spend time together with God in true intimacy for a beautiful thing to take place. And watch this. When you have intimacy, it doesn't matter how tired you are. how busy the day has been, how much you have worked, how much the kids have gotten you on your ever-loving nerve. When you have intimacy with your significant other throughout the day and y'all have been whispering sweet nothings in each other's ears, sending nasty text messages that are X-rated all throughout the day. And then when y'all synergize, it doesn't matter how tired you are. Somehow, someway, you muster up the energy to come together. Why does the church deserve anything less when he calls us his bride and he is the groom? So there has to be commitment. Come on, Alan, I'm done because we got a meeting. Their commitment was one of boldness. And without getting into it, for your own study, and you could look at Acts chapter 4, verse 23 through 31. I won't get into all of that. But that particular series of verses basically centers around on one thing. Just centers around on one thing. Boldness. And how to pray with boldness. Matter of fact, I don't want to deprive the people. They need to be stuffed with this word. Acts chapter 4, verse 23 through 31, and I'm going to try to read this quickly. When they were released, look at that. Talk about Peter and Paul here. When they were released, they went to their friends after being held up by the chief priests that were against them, and the elders said to them, and reported what the chief priests and elders had said to them. These are the two apostles. And when they heard it, this is the congregation, this is the fellowship, they lifted their voices together to God and said, Sovereign Lord, if you want to know an example of how to pray, you don't have to use Elizabethan English, but look at the precedence of how you always give honor to God first. It's funny for some of us church folk that have been in church all of our life, first giving honor to God because he's the lead of my life. There's nothing wrong with that because that's what you're supposed to do. Our Father, giving honor to God. And they said, Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, why did the Gentiles rage? This is where they start. They give honor to God and then they go into their specific situation. Why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain to kill our leaders of our church? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. For truly in this city, they were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan predestined to take place. Now watch this. All of those commas that you see show that God anointed them all. Even the ones who pronounced that Jesus should be taken to death, he anointed them all. In other words, they're a part of the purpose and part of the plan. So sometimes you got to talk to everybody. And God will use whatever means necessary in my Malcolm X voice in order to bring his will to come to pass. Whatever means necessary. And verse 29 says, is now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness. I'm looking for a time when we come to prayer where folk are shouting unto God, lifting up their voices like Minister Jordan, praying. I know why Minister Jordan prays the way that he prays, because he's been through some things. He's gone through some things physically and mentally and over the years. And so sometimes when you pray like that, you know that you've gone through something. Because there are certain situations that only God can get you out of. And when he does get you out of them, then you have to give all glory to him. All glory to him. Verse 29, and now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with what? boldness.
God, Lord, help me with all this other stuff. I'm just so tired and weary. I'm just so tired of my body. Give us strength, Lord. Help us, Lord. That's fine.
He's giving you the strength because you're alive. Now we need to be obedient. He's given us a prescription. The prescription for the last several days is to come once a day and take what you need to take at 7 p.m. Even if you can't be here, you still need to pray anyway. And it's going to be something that you don't want to do. But in the hour that we're in, if you are disobedient, guess what? You're going to stay sick.
So as I conclude, I think I'm done in the day.
In Acts chapter 4, verse 32 through 35. Now you can play it out. Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. And no one said that any of the things that belonged to him or her was his own. This is talk about the Acts church. This is the mindset that they had. After they knew that they were corporate and being together and they understood the catalyst, they got their commitment, and now we conclude. As I repeat, now the full number of those who believed, the saints, the church folk, were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed as any had need. You know what that shows me? The whole gist of that verse is that they were on one accord as the true Acts chapter 1 church. No one in the congregation had to worry about their light bill. No one in the congregation had to worry about not being able to pay rent. No one in the congregation had to worry about specific things because they were all on one accord and they all gave what they were supposed to, what they could do. A selfish person cannot be a saved person. God did not give you or bless me with jobs to never support the church that feeds me. He never set it up that way. He never intended for that to happen. But I believe that that is going to change. And if it doesn't, then you're hindering the blessings coming. Put it this way, as the oil flows down from God upon myself, disobedience is like the oil dripping off of me and you putting an umbrella over your head. Nothing will get to you because that umbrella represents disobedience. If you want it to flow, you got to remove the umbrella out of your head and you have to follow the prescription. Unless you are working, you should be here at 7 p.m. If it's some dire situation, I understand. Not unreasonable. We're not a dogmatic church. But we do need to do better because I believe that many of us have been very disobedient. Very. So as I close, come on, stand to your feet and grab your neighbor's hand. If you got a little baby, just touch the person's shoulder because they can't grab their head because they got Popeye arms already. So grab the head, grab everybody's hand. Put the children down. They'll be all right. We'll sit them on the seat. Leilani, she sleep? All right. I'll wait because this is what we desperately need. Now, how are we going to do this? How are we going to get it to where everybody's touching hands? How are we going to figure this out? Let's see. Can you move on up? Samantha, come on up. Thank you. Jasmine Davis, come on up. I want y'all to touch each other's hand. This is what we call a unity exercise. Yes. Thank you very much. Mother Michael, you come on now. Yes. Very good. Somebody has caught the vision. Very good. Just keep on doing what you're doing. Mike, you and your wife, y'all get up in there. it's okay. And then when the babies wake up and they look, they're going to be like, who mama hand she touching? We're going to be doing this much more versus this individual type of thinking. We don't have to form a circle. We just want everybody touching and agreeing. All right? Okay. So let me pray quick before the arms start trembling. Yeah, we got them. I'll wait. Because we got to be obedient. I know the child is waiting. He put him down. I don't care. I'll pray while he's crying. It's okay. You got it? Just touch it. Just come in contact. That's all we need. So as they work that out, not my will. This is what you should say to yourself. God's will. Not your church, Pastor Barton. Our church. We got to change that verbiage all the way around. Y'all are doing really good work up there. And you sitting in the congregation week after week. It's our church. Our church. Not my blessing, but our blessing. Not a one-man band, but an orchestra. Making music, sweet music in the Lord's ears. When the people of God, as I pray, come together in Jesus' name, the corporate anointing takes over and blessings and favor become contagious. It has happened in flashes before. We had 99% employment in our church when everybody was on one accord. And I believe that when we're on one accord, it's going to be easy to bring people to church. Whether it be a stranger or a hard-headed relative, whether it be somebody that wants to just stay in religion, God will make it easier when we're on one accord. So there's a fervent desire, Lord Jesus, to help one another and want to see the body of Christ do well and lack nothing. So as we pray to you today, Lord God, in unity, teach us to give, teach us to serve, teach us to tell the truth in love and embrace God's word. Let us hold one another accountable. Let us be the church. Let us be bold in our prayers, be bold in our service, be bold. And give glory to you, Heavenly Father, in all things. May this be a unifying and a defining moment in our ministry as we move forward, not struggling to survive, but walking in victory so that we can live. Let hope abound among these your people. Let them be endowed with a generous and loving and giving heart. One that could transform their entire household, that could bring those unsaved husband, that unsaved wife, those unsaved family members, friends, and let them hear the name of Jesus. We honor you, Lord God, and we bless your holy name. And finally, Lord God, forgive us for being disobedient and not following you as we should. Forgive us, Lord God, for not listening and only doing just enough to get by. Forgive us, Lord God. Give us another chance to get this ministry right. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Go ahead and put your hands together for the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God bless you. God keep you. This is my prayer. The corporate anointing means that as a unified body, we can all be blessed if we are obedient. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Class dismissed. Amen, amen. Clergy, just meet me in the back. In about 5 minutes, mingle. Let people know that you love them, and then I need you to meet me back in the office for a moment.
We do have smoothies today for those of us that are still fasting. I'm going to set up in a couple of seconds in the lobby area, $2 smoothies if you want.
support.